Good morning. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Psalms. We're back in the book of Psalms this morning. Psalm chapter 84, verses 5 through 7 will serve as our text. A little bit longer than the scripture texts we're accustomed to, but we've got to get all of these things together. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now, Psalm 84 is an absolute gem of a psalm. Its authorship is uncertain. It is set in three stanzas, musical stanzas of four verses each, and they are divided by the simple word Selah, meaning uncertain, but it is understood to be a musical pause and a place where we're to stop and to meditate upon the great truth that we've just taken in. The subject matter is found in the heading of the 84th Psalm. We have in the New King James Version, on an instrument of Gath. In the Hebrew, we have Al-Gatith, which is an expression of sweet joy. So the subject of the psalm, just to give you an overall context, that the topic that we're dealing with is first, the sweet joy in going to the house of the Lord. And secondly, the sweet joy of living life in God's presence. We're going to be picking up more on the second. Verse 5, which we read, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Has some variant translations in the English. Some have pilgrimage, some have ways, some have highways. All of these things capture various aspects of the meaning of a Hebrew word that is very difficult to translate. But we're going to be picking up on the pilgrimage aspects. What that verse literally says in Hebrew is this: the steeps are on their hearts. Now, what does that mean? That sounds a lot like Hebrew, like a foreign language to you, right? The steeps is just like it sounds, the steps. So what we have here is a word picture of the steps that you would climb to go to the raised platform where the tabernacle of the Lord was. So basically, what it is that the sense of it is that we're preparing our hearts to climb up, to ascend to the place where God is. Now, there are 15 Psalms consecutively, Psalms 120 to 134, which have the title, A Song of Ascents. It's the same meaning. The idea there is that we're ascending to the place where God is. We're preparing our hearts and we're coming humbly to meet Him in humility at the highest place where He is, the high point of spiritual things, which is the presence of God. Now, in our text this morning, we do have a description of our journey or our pilgrimage, as we have it, through life. The believer is a pilgrim or a visitor on earth. The man or the woman who has their faith in God through Jesus Christ has their citizenship in heaven. This 70 or 80 years, which the Lord may graciously bless us with on this earth, is simply a passport. We're sent forth as ambassadors on this earth, ambassadors for Christ. Now we can choose to either be obedient ambassadors, or we can not be obedient. Now if the ambassador for the United States is sent out to another country, the United States, let's say the president sends an ambassador to go speak with regards to the situation in Ukraine. Now that ambassador is going to speak the things which the commander-in-chief has deemed fit to be spoken. They're not going to go out there and say what they want or say, well, we really don't like that guy, right? They'll be recalled in a minute, and they might even be court-martialed. How much more so ought we to obey our commander-in-chief when we're sent out into this world on our pilgrimage? Now in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the hall of faith in the New Testament, we have this passage referring to the Old Testament saints and their death. Now all of these scriptures that I'm quoting to you are listed in your bulletin under the related scriptures section, so you'll be able to look them up later. You don't have to write frantically. Or if I don't tell you exactly where they are, you'll be able to find them. These all died in faith, and that's speaking of the ancient patriarchs, Abraham and Noah and Abel and all of these guys, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers, and guess what? Pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. In other words, once they left the things of the world, once they left the foolishness of their own sin and the places where that was getting them, which was nowhere, they didn't look back. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. In our text, that city is identified as Zion. Zion is the word that's used for spirit in the spiritual sense, for the place where God is, or God's holy hill. And that's the place to which we ascend to in our pilgrimage of life. A little bit of a technical introduction this morning. And now we're going to proceed to our... actually, we've got five applications today, which... doesn't mean that the service is going to be 60% longer, although I could go on all day about these things, and I would, if you let me. If you give me a call, I will. We have five applications this morning arising from our text. First, a certain state of the heart is needed to enjoy God's blessings. Secondly, every Christian must pass through the valley of Baca. And I'm going to explain to you what that means when we arrive there. Third, there is no shortage of divine provision. In other words, God gives us the means that we need to get through everything that life throws at us. And there's probably more of it bad than good. Or at least it seems so. Fourth, spiritual strength is increased as the Christian journeys through life. And finally, in verse 7, the great and glorious end of it all. Every believer meets the Lord in the end. A certain state of the heart is needed to enjoy God's blessings. Those who love God's ways are blessed. Those who eagerly arise every morning to praise and worship their God are blessed. Those who wake up on Sunday morning, as you and I did this morning, eager to join the rest of the saints in extolling God's name in magnifying Jesus Christ are blessed. I hope we all have this joy this morning. Or if we didn't come with it, that we leave with it, that we find it here. Does the Lord have need of corpses that you come to Him in prayer and in the house of God with lifeless worship and a miserable countenance? Have you ever seen the curmudgeon Christian? You know, ho-hum, have you ever been the curmudgeon Christian?
What's a curmudgeon?
A curmudgeon is somebody who, a grumpy, like, you know, Grumpy on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs with the face on, you know? The Lord has no need of lifeless worship, and He has no need of lifeless worshipers. He calls us that we might have joy in the Lord. And what is Christian joy? Not that we'll necessarily always be smiling. Now, there's a time to sorrow. There's a time to grieve. There's a time for everything under heaven. But Christian joy is being able to have that inner excitement and peace. Christian joy and Christian peace kind of go hand in hand, where we can have that peace and joy that's apart from circumstances. We're pleased that as difficult as the road may be, or as good as the road may be, that the Lord is walking that road with us. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Christian, rejoice. Jesus tells us why. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If you have nothing else to rejoice about, Christian, rejoice because your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Perhaps there are some here who have no clue what I'm talking about, haven't experienced Christian joy. Yeah, it all sounds fine and good. But you see, my life stinks, you say. Perhaps this is because your heart is not right with God. Perhaps you haven't believed in Christ Jesus. Perhaps you haven't come to the foot of the cross. Well, it's time for you to start your journey with God today. The journey begins as you enter through that proverbial gate. Come and lay down your baggage of sin, your rebellious spirit, all of that junk that's in that backpack you've been carrying around with you all these years, and leave it there at the foot of the cross. And take His burden, which is light. Take His yoke, which is easy. It's not too late for you to do this today. You're here today. You're here today. It's not an accident that you're here today. You're here today because the Lord has seen fit in His divine plan. In His sovereign plan, according to His perfect will, that you be here today, that you hear these things today, that God's word, that these scriptures that are read and spoken of might be impressed upon your heart, that you might do something with them. And so, friend, I'll leave you there. Perhaps you'd like to investigate these things further. Perhaps hearing of the blessed journey that the Christian has to take and the blessed end of it all, that you might find peace in all of these things put together. Every Christian must pass through the valley of Baca. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set in pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca. This is the valley of weeping. That word, Baca, also comes from the same word that's translated Bokim. Actually, these words are related. That word means weeping. So you could say, as they pass through the valley of weeping, who's they? Those who are on the pilgrimage, the Christian, right?
Yeah.
They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. In other words, as they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. They don't despair. The rain also covers it with pools. Who brings the rain? The Lord. Only the Lord. The Lord provides what's needed. In our Christian journey, difficult days will come. Maybe they're here now. Maybe these are difficult days. Death, our enemy, will come to call, to visit family and friends. Our health may begin to fail. We can't do the things we used to be able to do. Our souls will be attacked by doubts and temptations. But we must pass through the valley of Baca. There's no way around it. Just as there's no way into heaven but through the door, there's no way to the celestial city but through the valley of Baca. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Yet, as we pass through the valley of Baca, the Lord is with us. And so we say with David, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In the valley of Baca, you will be tempted to despair. Many before you have given up. And the valley bears witness to this. In the valley of Baca is dead men's bones. These are those who have started out on the journey before you. They've come to the cross. They've set forth on the pilgrimage. Yes, the Lord may make those dead bones live. He knows who are His. There are some who come to Christ and go no further, never experiencing the joy in the presence of the Lord. But those bones serve as a warning to you and I of those who have given up upon the way, never experiencing the joy and peace of God. There is no shortage of divine provisions. When your heart is stayed upon the Lord and you are on your knees and not on your pity pot, you will see the pools of refreshment set before you. There will be joy and peace even in the darkest times. For the Lord your God shall supply all your need. Not some of your need. All your need. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And there is no shortage of riches in the kingdom of God. He meets your spiritual needs first. And then all of the physical needs will be supplied in their time. And so we're commanded to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. This is not a promise of physical well-being, as some can attest. You've got 4 or 5 prescriptions that you need to keep yourself going that you didn't need 10, 20 years ago in the medicine cabinet. It's not a promise of physical well-being and a perfect health, but it's a promise of basic needs to sustain life. The mature man or woman of God is satisfied with God's sustaining grace. They're not always looking around for the next new thing or the easiest shortcut to heaven. There are no shortcuts in Christian discipleship. Many have been shipwrecked because they become discouraged along the way, having tried this shortcut and that. Consider the experience of the Apostle Paul. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. And what the Apostle Paul experienced here was that he was actually, at his conversion, brought up into the third heaven. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Not that he's some kind of a masochist or something. Is that the right word? A self-inflictor. Not that he enjoys the pain, but he takes pleasure to the degree that God is magnified as he goes through these things, and that the sicknesses and the things that he deals with cause him to keep looking up to God. If everything was always hunky-dory, we might think that we don't need the Lord. This is one of the things that keeps so many young folks away from coming to the Lord, right? When we're teenagers, we're invincible. We can't get sick. We're not going to die. None of these things are going to happen, we think, right? But as we grow older, we begin to realize that everything is falling apart. One thing at a time. Until the whole thing finally breaks down. Right, kind of like a car, you know, or a computer or something like that. A little thing goes wrong, and then another little thing, and another little thing. And we just kind of deal with all these problems, right? Because, you know, this is the way it is now. You know, it's an old car. We've got to deal with it. It's falling apart. And we're kind of the same way, right? But we of course, have a soul and a spirit, unlike all of these inanimate objects. And we have a God in heaven who cares infinitely and who will one day restore us, even to the point of giving us an incorruptible body where we don't have to deal with all of this foolishness anymore. So therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Spiritual strength is increased as the Christian journeys through life. Our text reads, they go from strength to strength. This is a reference to the heart that stays focused on the Lord. Acknowledging his presence in the valley of Baca, and his blessings every day, in good times and in bad. Learning to trust the Lord and to praise him always, saying, blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with what? Benefits. Benefits. The God of our salvation, Selah. In other words, stop to think about it. Pause to meditate. The Christian learns to have faith and to trust as a result of experiencing the goodness and faithfulness of God. This is Christian maturity, going from strength to strength, or from virtue to virtue. This is the same word we have used of the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. We begin to, our faith is built up as we learn one spiritual lesson. We're able to apply it to the next step. We're able to take heed of our walk. We learn to have faith by persevering through everything that life throws at us, in other words. So we go from strength to strength. The Christian goes from strength to strength, by the way, with an attitude of thanksgiving. And then we come to the glorious end. They go from strength to strength. Each one, or the alternate rendering of this, the God of God shall be seen before God in Zion. Every believer meets the Lord in the end. Each one appears before God in Zion, on His holy hill, in His heavenly city. This is the final destination of the Christian pilgrim. And it is a glorious country indeed. Heaven is a place where sin and death have no power, not as they do on earth for a season. Heaven is the place where God is. That's the best thing about heaven. It's unexplainable. When we finally meet Jesus, we will know that it was worth it all. We'll understand how all of these things fit together, how everything in our lives happened for a reason. On earth, sometimes we'll figure it out down the line, sometimes we'll never get it. That's the faith walk. But when we look back, we'll see everything as it is and for what it is, through the perfect lens in the presence of the Lord. Heaven is a place where the faithful servant will receive reward. So plan your pilgrimage accordingly. Have you started? Have you set out on that pilgrimage? Well, if not, then do it today. What are you waiting for? Till it's too late? Plenty of procrastinators in hell, is there not? So why wait? Come to the foot of the cross. Only trust Him. Only believe. Belief. Faith in Christ. Plus nothing. And the fruits will come. Are you somewhere on the journey? Are you in the valley of Baca? Will you acknowledge the presence of the Lord there for you and let Him carry you through? For He promises, I will carry you. Are you on the descent or on the ascent of the valley? Maybe things seem a little bit peaceful. You're in a nice meadow right now. Well, good for you. Thank God for the blessings and the rest that He's given you there. Have you gone beyond that? Have you passed through the valley of Baca several times over? And there you are, continuing. Will you go from strength to strength? Will you take the lessons you've learned? Will you take heed of the fact that God was with you the last time? And call upon His name with you the next time, not as a last resort, but as a first resort. Have your eyes drifted from the goal? Consider that the Lord awaits you at the end of your journey with open arms. Dear Heavenly Father, may You strengthen each of us on the journey as we go in the way. And when we forget You, Lord, I know it's painful for us to even ask this sometimes, but Lord, do whatever You need to do. By hook or by crook, to get us back on that straight and narrow path. We thank You for Your faithfulness in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.